Hello, everyone. How's it going? I'm Andrew, and you're listening to the Q-Lips podcast. Today, we have another great episode for you. But before we start, I'm going to remind you to check out our website at culips.com. C-U-L-I-P-S.com. On our website, you can listen to all of our past episodes, and you can sign up to become a Q-Lips member. Membership gives you access to our learning materials, and if you really want to get serious about studying English, I recommend that you consider becoming a member. Because with the learning materials, you get access to transcripts for each and every episode. You can read the text while you listen, and this will really help your comprehension. You also get detailed descriptions of the important expressions and idioms that we talk about on the podcast. And finally, you get quizzes that will help you test your understanding. On our website, we have some free samples that you can check out of the learning materials. So go on over to culips.com and give them a try, because I know you'll enjoy them. And there's really no better way to study. Also, make sure to check us out on Twitter and Facebook and leave us a comment to let us know what you think of the show. We love to get feedback from you. So if you have an idea for an episode or have some suggestions that could help us make the podcast better, please let us know. Well, those are enough announcements for now, I think. Don't you? How about we get started with the show? Today's episode is a chatterbox episode, and that's where we chat. We discuss interesting events and Canadian culture, and sometimes we even interview our friends. And actually, that's what you'll get to hear today. I recently interviewed my friend Marshall, and we had a cool little talk about living in Montreal and playing video games for a living. How cool is that? So I had a great time talking with Marshall, and I hope you'll enjoy this show. So here it is, my interview with Marshall. So I'm here today with my friend Marshall. Marshall, what's up?
Not a lot. I'm being interviewed, and that's nice.
Yeah. Thanks so much for agreeing to do this.
No problem. My pleasure.
We're recording today in your apartment.
Yes.
And your apartment is a little bit different than a regular apartment because it's a loft apartment.
Yes, a loft.
A loft. And what is the difference between a regular apartment and a loft apartment?
I would say that a loft apartment is different in that it has more space. It's often a space with tall ceilings and less rooms than a normal apartment.
Mm-hmm. More like of an open layout?
Yeah, open concept, I would call it.
Nice, yeah. The ceilings are really high in here. It's like double the height of my apartment, probably.
Yeah, I wonder if you can hear the difference.
Yeah, there's probably good acoustics in here.
Not the best, actually.
Oh, really?
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, and so your apartment is really just two rooms, but it's quite big.
Yeah, I'd say, compared to many other apartments of my friends, I'd say it's more like square feet. It's actually more like more area than other spaces.
Yeah.
But it's just mainly one big room.
Did this place used to be a warehouse? Is it a converted space?
I believe so. I think the neighborhood is mostly built off of old, I think, storage and warehouse and factory spaces that have been converted years ago into apartments.
Yeah, yeah. It's very cool. I would like to live in a place like this, I think.
I think you could if you wanted to.
I probably could find a place because there's lots of lofts in Montreal.
Yeah, I think it was because of Montreal being, when it first started, there was a lot more industry and manufacturing and storage type places. And then when all that business went away, people saw it as an opportunity to create living spaces.
Yeah.
I know this neighborhood particularly, being close to the canal, there was a lot of industry here that turned into spaces like this.
Ah, that makes sense. Yeah, because you live right by the canal and they would have had the boats going up and picking up stuff and dropping it off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Well, it's a very cool place, and thanks for letting us record here. And today I wanted to talk to you about video games.
Yes.
Because you're in the biz of video games.
Yes, I'm a video game tester.
A video game tester. And what does that mean? What does a video game tester do?
There's a few different types of jobs at the place that I work at. What I mostly do is called functionality testing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically you're testing the functionality of the game, which is the playability and how the game actually works. So a lot of what we do is try to break the game and make it so that it will stop working.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so break the game is kind of, I guess that's kind of colloquial, but that's just trying to find ways that you can make the game stop functioning or function in a way that's not intended so that the video game developers can go back and fix these issues.
Right, because you don't want to sell the game to somebody who's playing it and then it just freezes or stops working.
Yeah, so that's the big challenge is trying to make the game so that when it gets to the consumer, all the issues have been found and fixed so that ideally when it is consumer ready, there are no problems with the game and anyone can play it with no issues.
Yeah, so I think when people first hear, oh, I'm like a video game tester, it sounds like the perfect job, you know? You get to work and play video games. This is awesome. But I think it might be a little frustrating, too.
Yeah, I think it's kind of, it seems like, not really glamorous, but it seems like, oh, you just get to play video games all day. Which, that is a part of my job.
Yeah.
But I also spend a lot of time writing reports and working through checklists, and often, as I mentioned, breaking the game, you're playing the game in a way that's not exactly like you're trying to find these issues and recreate them so you can be sure that it's an issue.
Right.
So you spend a lot of times playing the game not the way that a normal consumer would.
Yeah, so your goal isn't to beat the game and to win. It's to find these bugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is. Like, there's different things we have to do, and sometimes a check will be like, can you beat this game?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and your job is to beat the game. So that can be, like, a really time-consuming check.
Yeah, to make sure that it's not too difficult or something?
Yeah, difficult, or at least a progression. Like, just make sure that if a consumer was to sit down and start playing the game, they could progress to the end of the game naturally without having to use any of the tools that we have to work through things.
Yeah.
So that there can be a natural progression to the game and the user can make it to the end of the game without being stopped.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very cool. It sounds like an interesting job.
I'd say it is. It's something I never really pictured myself doing, and then I found an opportunity to do it, and it turned out to be something I quite enjoyed, actually.
Cool. Yeah. And so Montreal, I think, from my understanding anyways, is that Montreal has a pretty big video game industry.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually quite a few people employed in Montreal that work in video games.
Yeah, absolutely. I think from what I have been told, there was a time in the early 90s, maybe,
mm-hmm.
or mid-90s, where there was a lot of incentive for video game companies to come here. They were offered a lot of tax breaks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So a lot of companies came here, and I think that's changed now. But there's still, like, a lot of things have a home base here, so they're kind of sticking around.
Yeah, that's very cool. It's an industry that I didn't know really existed in the city until recently.
But, yeah. No, it's definitely a big part of the city. And I think in terms of the world, there's like Montreal is one of the main places where game developers and game testing happens.
It's a gaming hub.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Right on. So in order to get this job, I'm assuming that you're pretty good at video games. Is this true or false?
I'm not the most amazing at video games, but I think I have a history of playing video games. I've played them my whole life. So I was able to, when I started this job, kind of be able to play different games and understand different games pretty quickly. And that's a more important part of the job, I think, than being good at it, is just being able to figure out how to play it in a way that kind of makes sense and you can navigate the game with ease and understand the expected behavior. That's a kind of a term we use.
Insider jargon?
That's like kind of an industry term, at least where I work. It's like the expected behavior is what you think the game should do.
Right.
So a lot of the times it's like, oh, this is what I think the game should do, but it's not. So this is the issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So looking back at your history of video gaming throughout your life, mm-hmm. what is your favorite video game?
Oh, I have a few. I think Pokemon. Pokemon for the Game Boy is something I've played my whole life. A lot of different versions of the game.
Yeah.
Going back to when I was a kid and I had a PlayStation. That was my first of my own gaming consoles.
First one you owned?
Yeah. Crash Bandicoot was a big game for me.
Yeah, classic.
It's a fun, like, jumping adventure game.
Yeah.
And what else? I love Halo. Yeah, the Halo series for the Xbox. And those are my main three favorites, I would say.
And it's funny that you say that you're, you know, just okay at video games, because right now you own an Xbox, and when we hang out we play Halo together, and you always beat me like really, really badly. I just lose right away, so I think you're pretty good.
I guess there are some things I'm better at, and Halo is a game I've played since I was maybe 16 or 17 and played a lot in my teenage years, so I think it was I had an advantage in my experience and kind of the muscle memory that comes with playing games, because that's a big part of it. And I think it does develop a lot of kind of hand-eye type skills. And so that has been helpful for me, that learning to play video games, I think.
Yeah, and it's funny because I played video games growing up. Mm-hmm. I had a Nintendo, a Super Nintendo, N64. PlayStation, a Dreamcast. I had all of them up until a certain point, and then I stopped playing when I was in high school, I guess. But I feel like I had those essential skills from when I played as a kid.
Yeah.
But I've lost them, or I just never had them, or it doesn't matter. I don't know what the answer is.
I don't know. I think it is definitely like something, you know, if it's like, if you think of it as a muscle, it's something that can kind of go away if you don't do it for a long time. I know when I moved to Montreal, I didn't have a lot of money or a lot of space for video games. So there was a good 3 years where I didn't play video games at all. And I really quite missed it.
Yeah.
And whenever I got the chance to, I would. But then I got my Game Boy a few years ago, and I got the newest version of Pokemon at the time. And I played that a lot. And then I got the Xbox here. That was last summer. So we spent most of the winter playing Xbox here.
Yeah. I think in Montreal, actually, playing video games is a great activity for the winter.
It is a great activity for the winter. A nice indoor activity. It's exciting. It's a good way to pass the time, I think.
Yeah. For sure. Mm-hmm. Cool. So if you had the choice between reading a book or watching a movie or playing a video game, which would you choose?
I guess it's hard to say. I mean, are we talking about like the same source material? Like a book, like watching the Lord of the Rings movie or reading the Lord of the Rings book or playing a Lord of the Rings video game?
Sure, let's do it like that.
I'd probably say a video game, because it's more interactive, and I think it's more engrossing in a lot of ways, and it's something that you can kind of become more involved in and kind of feel like you're part of the action, and you're not as like as much of a passive viewer as with movies, or I guess you don't have to use your imagination as much as in reading a book.
Yeah, you get all the elements, the story and the action
good game will give you that.
Yeah. And video games are getting so huge. I heard a stat the other day that compared to all the income from movies and music and TV that's sold in North America, video games make more money.
I wouldn't be surprised. It's a really a huge industry and kind of involves a lot of people. A lot of people work. I mean, even I watched this film about video games.
Oh, yeah.
And they were talking about, it's interesting because when you're making a video game compared to, like, say, the team behind a blockbuster album or a blockbuster film, making a video game can really just employ the most amount of people comparatively, because you've got your developers, you've got your people animating. There's just a huge team that goes into creating the game. And then there's even, from my perspective, there's like the testing too, and that's a small industry unto itself. So I think video games are big business in that way, that they employ a lot of people and can be a large project.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of times parents, I know my mom would always get mad at me, not mad at me, but get frustrated at me for playing video games too much and not going outside. But you got to think of the big picture, you know, maybe these are good things. It can lead to a career in the future, just like it has for you.
Yeah, I guess I would have never known, but that could have been my excuse back then when my mom told me to go outside and play instead of playing video games. I could just said I'm training for my future job.
So if you're a teenager and you're listening to this now you have an excuse to tell your parents.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're almost near the end of the interview, but before I let you go, I want to ask you 5 random questions. This is something I do with everybody that I interview, and it's always fun for me. Hopefully it's fun for you too.
All right, shoot.
Okay, so question number 1. If you could only eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would you eat?
Off the top of my head, I'll have to say pizza, because pizza is a very versatile dish, and it's something that I quite enjoy, and I always have.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. I would choose pizza, too.
Yeah, good choice.
You get so many different toppings, different types of cheese.
Options.
Yeah, lots of options. Mm-hmm. And if you're eating it every day, that's what you want. Okay, question number 2. If you had to be someone other than yourself, who would you be?
Brian Eno.
Brian Eno?
Yeah, well, I guess it's just like that he's my idol in a lot of ways. Okay. So if I had to pick a person to be, it would be Brian Eno.
That's cool. Yeah. For people that don't know, Brian Eno is a musician from the UK.
Yes.
And very famous for his studio work and for his synthesizer work. Mm-hmm. A very cool guy. That's a good answer. I like that one. Okay, next question. Question 3. Would you rather be the best player on the worst team or the worst player on the best team? If you were an athlete, let's say.
Yeah. I'd say worst player on the best team, because you still get to be the champion.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
You don't have to show off. You just get the championship ring. You get to go for the fun ride.
You do what you got to do. Hopefully you're contributing something to the best team.
Yeah.
Even as the worst.
You're still the winner at the end of the day. Yeah, I like that answer too. Okay, we got 2 more here. Number 4, if you had to move to a different country, where would you move to?
Oh, I was thinking about this the other day.
Yeah.
Where would I move to? I don't know. I don't like things that are too hot.
Yeah.
I don't like places that are too cold. What is there a place that's right in the middle, just the sweet spot every time?
The Goldilocks
time?
Country.
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe somewhere like the south of France.
Yeah, maybe the south of France or like Portugal or something.
Yeah.
You know, just live on the beach somewhere, but yeah. not a too hot place.
Yeah, it looks hot there, but it doesn't look boiling hot.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. I've never been.
Me neither. So I'll say Portugal.
Yeah. If you're listening in Portugal, let us know. Does it get really hot there? Okay, good answer. And the last question that we have, it sort of wraps it back. It's a career question.
Okay.
When you were a kid and somebody would ask you, Marshall, what do you want to be when you grow up? What was your answer? What did you want to be when you were an adult?
When I was like a little kid?
Yeah.
I wanted to be a lawyer because I wanted to be rich. Yeah. I thought I was going to just be rich.
That's cool. Not many kids would say they want to be a lawyer.
No, and I don't know why I did either. And I really strayed quite far from that path as growing up to become a video game tester, musician, bum.
Yeah. I wanted to be a fireman when I was little.
Oh, wow.
And I'm definitely nowhere near a fireman at all. So, you know, there's a lot of variation.
Yeah, well, it's funny the way a kid might think and what actually happens. When you grow up, you kind of realize your perspective changes and you realize that that might not be something you'd be so interested in. And I wonder how many people become the things they want to be when they're like, you know, 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Probably not that many people.
I'm guessing not, unless there'd be like a lot more marine biologists around.
Yeah, it's true. And firemen.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks a lot, Marshall.
Thank you, Andrew.
We'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
That concludes my interview with Marshall. I hope you had as much fun listening to the episode as I had recording it. I'm going to remind you again to visit our website at qlips.com and also check us out on Facebook and Twitter. If you listen to this program through iTunes and you like the show, head on over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating. This will help spread the word about QLips and help our audience grow. So we would really appreciate it if you could do that. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.